Welcome to the War Report on Public Education. The future of education is an important concern for our time. Where it's heading, how it's evolving, and the influence corporate America has on its outcome. The War Report on Public Education provides critical news, analysis, and perspectives on the what, why, who, where, when, and how of both the new corporate state elites campaign, the Machiavellian agenda to destroy the nation's public education system, and the rising public resistance movement to defend and defeat this Machiavellian agenda. And now, here is our host, Dr. James Avington Miller, Jr.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the War Report, and Happy New Year, since we have not been together for 2 weeks, and I didn't get a chance to say Happy New Year, and I did try and say to everyone, have a Merry Christmas, Merry Holiday, just before the last show, so I want to make up by saying, you know, hope you had a great holiday season and you got what you wanted and did all those things that you normally do or want to do for a holiday and all. Well, I don't even know where to start today's show. I think many of you, if not all of you, know about the fact that, I'm here in Buffalo, and that just before Christmas, I think it was the Friday before Christmas, one of the school board members by the name of Carl Palladino, who has been on the board, I think, since 2013, maybe a little longer, and who was just reelected to the board again last May 2016, was sent, a survey of sorts by one of the local journalists here, and was given some questions, 4 or 5 open-ended questions that he and everyone else who received this questionnaire could fill in any way that they wanted to. And what Carl put in his answers, it's like the shot being heard around the world all over again. I'm going to stop there, and I'll come back to it again, because that's really what the crux of the show is going to be about, is to tell people who don't live here in Buffalo, who maybe have not heard of this guy and his, I won't say, you know, it's kind of happened to be almost diplomatic, I want to say, his antics, but then you guys know me, what I really want to say is bullshit. So, having said that, let me go back a little bit. I came to Buffalo for the first time in my life, November 2015. It was part of the road trip that most of you know about. I arrived like 11:30 late one night. I was picked up by my host and was taken to the place where I was going to stay. The route selected by my host was not the freeway route, but it was the, like, through the neighborhood, through from downtown to going to various neighborhoods. Within the first 5 minutes of getting into the car, I heard the name Carl Palladino. That trip took about 20 minutes, maybe no more than 25 minutes. I heard Carl Palladino's name at least 5 times. And in hearing the name, the context was that he wasn't a good guy, in this person's opinion. As you also know, I spent, say, 10 days here, and in the 10 days, I think I interviewed well over 20 to 25 teachers, parents, students, other elected officials, school board members, county members, da-da-da-da-da. I heard his name. If I interviewed 20 to 25 people, I heard his name at least 55% of the people, from the people whom I interviewed. This is my first trip. So the man, for a long time now, has had his issues with many of the people here in Buffalo. And I'm going to say the majority of the black, brown, probably immigrant community too, have issues with him. And I also think there is a nice percentage of the white community here who have issues with Carl. So it's kind of widespread. Now, then I came back a second time, and I heard more and more, third time, more and more, and then I'm here now. Let me characterize this situation that I'm going to try and describe. Oh, and one other thing, too. Now, I've been in and out of Buffalo for 14, going on 15 months. Obviously, I'm not a native. Obviously, I'm not a long-term resident. Obviously, I am by far not the best person to do this show on Carl Paladino. There are thousands, tens of thousands, well, given the fact that it's like 250,000 plus people here. So I would say maybe there could be as many as a couple hundred thousand who are better prepared to talk about Carl Paladino. So I'm somewhat handicapped. I do know some things. I've researched him and on and on and on. But there are others who could do a much better job than I'm going to do. And I believe that and I know that. It was my decision to do a solo show as opposed to inviting several guests to be on the show from the area. I just felt that I didn't want to put anyone in harm's way, having an honest, frank conversation about him. And I didn't want to go to any of the people associated with the school board, teachers, parents who work with the school board, you name it, because, again, Paladino is a revengeful person, and he attacks people mercilessly and on and on. I didn't want to expose. Now, if people call in, we will certainly have the conversation. And I will demand that it will be an honest and frank conversation. As it relates to me, I don't know if he knows me or knows of me. And frankly, I don't give a shit. I'm going to say what I believe, and that's that. Now, when I came to Buffalo first time after hearing about this guy, I went to a school board meeting, as I have done almost every trip that I was here on. I went to every school board meeting that was held during the time that I was here. The first board meeting, I got as close to being able to sit in the front as I could, and I was observing Carl. The whole school board meeting, the guy basically, in my opinion, was disinterested. He would rather be somewhere getting his brains beaten out than to be on the school board. He was on his cell phone texting, I guess, now that we know that he does a lot of Twitter stuff and texting, what have you. So he was constantly on his phone. Then he got up and walked out during the proceedings. And I looked at my watch. He was gone 20 minutes, 25 minutes. He came back and went right back to his cell phone. That was a pattern that I would come to see on all the school board members, I mean, school board meetings that I went to, was that he would not seem to be paying attention or interested in what was going on. He would be on his phone. And then he would get me leave and sometimes stay as much as a half an hour out comeback, and when it was time to vote, he always knew that he was going to vote no on anything that the minority school board members was asking for, suggesting, anything that did not fit with his agenda, which is right out of the Machiavellian agenda. So that was Carl. That was the guy that I saw that first night, and then every school board member. And oh, and then there was always, not always, but a lot of the time, there would be conflict between he and one or two of the minority school board members. And I'm talking now about the school board that was in place when I came here in 2015. There would be an election 2016, and that board would change substantially. The board that I saw the first time and several other times was made up of, the board itself was made up of 9 members, and that there were 5 member Carl Paladino majority, and of that 5, it was 5 white men, 1 white woman, and the minority was 4 black women. Of the 4 black women, I know for certain, 2 of them were former teachers. The other woman was not that I know, and then there was a woman that I met, but she was retiring, and I never got a chance to interview her or sit down and talk to her, so I don't know if she was a teacher or not. That was in the nature of the school board. Now, back to my first trip here. I'll make another little preamble here. Many of you who've been listening to the show, you know that I spent a number of years learning to write screenplays, and that I did write screenplays. I was a script doctor, and that means that I would get other people's scripts and go through them, help them try and get their script to a place where it would be viewed as being really, really good sort of thing. When I first started hearing about Carl Paladino, I sort of started casting him in a Western movie. The Western movie where when you come into the town, you may see, you know, Welcome to Buffalo, and then maybe a big billboard after that, you would see Carl Paladino's face up on it, and you would see Paladino Land, Paladino Country, letting you know that you're now entering into a town or city that Boss Paladino owns. He owns everything, everyone in the town. That was my image. And that image really hasn't changed. It was Boss Paladino. And you know the Western movie, he owned the set, everyone. In old movies, they would own the sheriff, they would own, if there was a town council, he owned the town council. He owned many of the merchants and everyone in the town, and they all catered to him. I saw a lot of that in terms of what Paladino had his hand in this, he had his hand in that, and if you read our promotion, I promoted him as a billionaire school board member. He supposedly is a billionaire. He also a lawyer. Now, by that, I was told that he went to law school. I don't know if or not he passed the law. I don't know if he's ever practiced law or not, but supposedly he's a lawyer. So you got this, at least for me, you got this picture of this guy who is the boss, and that the town itself was waiting for someone to come in and do battle with the boss, because others who have tried got swept away. And so, this part is a joke for what I'm saying now. This part is a joke. When I came in and was hearing about that, I could envision me and Paladino standing in the empty street, 30, 40 feet apart, guns strapped on, and we were ready to do battle. I had to get that in. That's fun for me. Okay, back to the story. Now, Paladino has a history of making statements, taking actions that are reprehensible to many. that some question the propriety of his actions, even before he was on the school board. Since he's been on the school board, there have been cries of conflict of interest. I understand that there is a lawsuit saying that he, as a school board member, engaged in activity that of the nature of a should be of the nature of a conflict of interest, and that there are other things that are very questionable. He either, and again, remember, I've only been around here so many months, and I hear things from people that I believe telling the truth. I did not go and dig through the literature to find out if every single thing that I was told was actually true, documented, and what have you. But I would hear some of the same stories over and over again. One such story is he is a big charter school fan, voucher fan. Well, we know that. I did find that because he talks about how the school system here needs to be dismantled. And charter schools and vouchers are the answer to creating a better school system. I know that. But then there are the allegations that he buys up distressed property, that people who maybe are facing foreclosure of their property because of taxes or what have you. And the city here, a lot of times, will take the properties and put it in some type of land bank, and then people can buy property from that land bank pennies on a dollar. And I understand Palladino has, I don't want to say make a fortune, but I don't know to be so, but that's the implication that I'm saying, and that he has bought property, and then he has turned around, either put structures on them or rehab structures, and then turn around, got huge leases from federal government, state government, what have you, on these school-owned properties. And I won't go any further because, again, I don't know for certainty, but these are the things that people have said, and that he is underhanded and nothing good is the bottom line here. And then getting on the school board was just a way to continue his ability to tap into school assets for his own gain and to maybe for others as well. And that he stays on the board for that same reason. Now, yeah, I'm saying these things and I'm using a qualifier, because I've only been here, as I keep saying, 14 months. I know what I've heard. I've seen some of these things, and I've searched some of these things, and I feel pretty confident in saying that what I'm saying I believe to be true. And also, these are my opinions. I'm going to come back to these are my opinions in a few minutes, and I think you'll see the connection when I do. So, we have a situation here that has been brewing for a number of years. Back in, I think it was 2010, he ran for governor on a Republican ticket against the sitting governor, Cuomo. During his run, he developed his portfolio of racism, racist, anti-gay, anti-you name it, to appeal to his base that led to him winning the nod to run for the governorship. You know that, I say you know, I'm assuming some of you know that he was a co-campaign managing director for the state of New York for Trump. And that some of his views channel those of Trump's, or some of Trump's views channel those of him here. He hosted rallies and speeches and et cetera for Trump when Trump was running. I was here one of the times that he held this big, big, big rally for Trump. So he has this identifiable and demonstrable set of attitudes, values that he displays openly with hostility and with the attitude is, I'm too big for you to mess with me. And I can say what I want and I can do what I want. He has this penchant for attacking people, social media. I mean, he goes after people. And you may have seen his latest, which was just a few days ago, a super long article where he attacked the union president. He attacked the school board minority. He attacked the superintendent. He went specifically at the president of the school board, and he went after executive staff of the superintendent. He went after damn near everybody that's associated with public schools here in Buffalo, unabashedly. And you know that what brought him to the light of not only all of Buffalo, Western New York, the state of New York, United States, but how about across the globe? He has become infamous across the globe. And that was a result of, I think it was December 23rd, just before Christmas on a Friday, when he answered this survey. I guess he typed it, wrote it, and sent his answers back in to at least four questions. And wow, things became very explosive around here. I was in Los Angeles for the holiday. I was getting messages, emails, even calls saying, what the hell is happening? I don't know. I didn't know anything about it. And people started sending me his comments and what have you. I started calling people back here saying, you know, what the hell is happening? Why didn't people call me, write me, let me know about this? I have to hear about it from people in Detroit, people in other states and what have you. I didn't know then that this thing was going viral, what his comments were. Most of you know what his comments were. I'll just repeat the two that were so explosive. To a question where he answered, was he and there were other people were submitted. The author of this piece submitted these questions to at least a dozen people that I have come across in some of the research that I've done. And one is, what would you like to see happen in 2017? And his thing was, Obama have relationships with a heifer cow, attract AIDS, and die before he goes on trial for, I guess, misconduct in the office. In the second answer to a question, he said Michelle Obama should go back to being a man and go to the outback in an African country, live with a female gorilla, and you know the implications there. And everyone who saw it, not everyone, Many people who saw it were outraged. Even people in the Republican Party were outraged. His son was outraged. Trump himself didn't come out, but a member of his transition team came out with a statement saying that this was atrocious. I'm not quoting people because I'm not. And that they was, I don't know if they was like dissing themselves or not, but they were jumping on the bandwagon saying that this was really inappropriate and da-da-da-da. So, the fear has hit the public to the point where the school board, who have been individual members and then the minority, majority on the board, have been attacked by him. I guess they had had enough because they started looking at how they could have him removed from office. This is an elective office. This doesn't happen easily or quickly, nor often. While I was away still, there were efforts to, you know, get that process going. I was only gone a week, and when I came back, there was an emergency school board member meeting, which I attended, and the purpose of that was to call for a vote by the board members to ask Paladino to step down on his own accord, resign from the board in 24 hours, or the board then would seek to have a vote on starting the legal process of having him removed by the state commission. Yeah. And so that happened on a Wednesday, not quite 2 weeks ago. If the audience was so large that they were given permission to hold the hearing in the city council, they don't call them city council here, chambers, which I think they told me had a capacity of 300 of visitors, and the place was full. People standing, people out in the hallway, you name it, it was full. There was some really, from the audience, really some outspoken people who defied the request to remain silent and remain civil and on and on and on, but it was contentious. The vote passed. They needed not a simple majority, which would be 5 on a 9-person board, but they needed 6. There were 8 council members present. Paladino didn't show up, and 6 of the board members voted to move forward with giving him this ultimatum. 2 didn't. 24-hour pass, he didn't resign, but he had already said no way in hell was he going to resign, and he was ready to take them on. Then there was a second emergency meeting, which just took place this past Wednesday. And that purpose of that meeting was to have the same board reconvene and go into an executive session behind closed doors so that they could pick a lawyer or a law firm to immediately begin filling out the form necessary to be sent to the State Commission of Education so that that process would be put in play immediately. I attended both of those 2 meetings I just mentioned, and I witnessed what happened. Then, of course, there was a Paladino response to all of this, and I'm going to go to the first response that I became aware of. In good legal fashion, he spun a story saying that what got sent to this reporter was done by accident, that the comments that he had written were intended to be sent to friends, colleagues, etc., via personal email network, or not the personal network, but to his friends that he had their email address and they correspond. And that somehow, he hit the wrong button and the wrong file was sent to the wrong person. It took he, and I'm going to think he has a team of lawyers. It took them that many days or X number of days to come up with this. I'm going to say this again. The man is supposed to be a lawyer. The man is a billionaire. You do not become a lawyer or a billionaire and you're stupid. You're dumb. Well, I take that back. There may be a billionaire, maybe two, that may fall in that latter category. But I've observed, you know, the man is not dumb and stupid. Okay. And Carl, I will address this to you. Bullshit. You did not hit that by accident, in my opinion. Now, I had said earlier, I use the word, in my opinion, and I said I'd come back and I'd comment. When you're talking about a person, an event, an organization, what have you, depending on what you say and how you say it, you could be sought after by them for prosecution, defamation of character, slander, what have you. But if you use the term or the equivalent of the term, in your opinion, you're protected, because we have the right under the First Amendment to express our opinions freely and without fear of retribution from the government and others. So, Carl always says, and what he said about the piece that he sent out, was he was expressing his opinion to either friends or whoever is on his email mailing list, and that he accidentally, unintentionally, awkwardly hit the wrong button. I'm still, you know, everyone knows that I am not a technology savvy person, but I'm still trying to figure out how you accidentally hit a button to send something to a person that you did not intend to send it to, and you intended to send it to someone else. Are those buttons right next to each other, or the file, those two, a file like it was supposed to go to one place, a file like it should go to another place? How in the hell can you do that? I don't know. But anyway, that's what he's claiming. When this stuff started hitting the fan, and again, people were calling me, I said something to people that many of them didn't like, and I'll tell you what I said. I said, as much as I want to see his ass gone, I don't think it's going to happen for the simple reason he and his lawyers are going to do exactly what I just said. One, he was expressing his opinion. That's protected under the First Amendment. Two, he did not say it at a board meeting. He did not say it as a board member at an outside meeting. He did not use board from what I think I know. He used his own personal computer and account. He did not do anything that would say that he was doing it as a board member, and hence his behavior was unbecoming as a board member, which would be an act that is actionable. You could bring charges for him for that. All the things that especially when he uses his own personal email and blog, if he has a blog, and he uses Twitter or whatever he's using, he can say anything he wants as a private citizen. As reprehensible as his self is, or anyone else, we have the First Amendment right. Back years and years ago, now a couple of decades ago, there was a Ku Klux Klan, what do they call it, the big grand wizard or whatever or something, in Louisiana. I think his name was David Duke. He decided to run for Louisiana legislator. And my son was maybe 11, 12 years old. And he was reading and hearing some of this guy's speech. He came running out of his bedroom, came up to me, and he was livid. He was getting in that age where he becomes social conscious and understanding racism and what have you. And he was angry, and he wanted, we need to shut him up. We need to, you shouldn't allow him to be able to say this on television or the radio. You shouldn't allow him to do things like this or what have you. And I had a conversation with him that I just had with you. As much as I disliked the Ku Klux Klan and this particular individual and leader of the Ku Klux Klan, I would defend his right to say those things. Because if I didn't defend his rights, that old that saying goes that first they came for, say, X, and I said nothing. Next they came for Y. No one said anything. Then when they came for me, there was no one left to say anything. And that I believe that the First Amendment takes precedent over the people who abuse it. That if we start saying people don't have this right, then it won't be long before it'll be you and I who won't have the right. So that's what I said when, you know, the stuff first said that this is going to be his defense. Any lawyer, even law student, would immediately put this out as their defense if they were in that situation. So then Mr. Palladino, here's something. Before that Friday, the 23rd of December, I think it was maybe, you know, 2 weeks before that, Palladino went to a black radio-owned station and had an interview with a show, black host, where he dogged out the three senior black women school board members, people who were on the board the last term and who were either reelected, or the one woman who wasn't running because she was on a five-year track as opposed to a three-year track. He dogged them out, which he does all the time. People were livid about that. And when people started calling the radio station, and the owner of the radio station, which is a black woman, who then supposedly went and talked to the host of the show, and they wanted a copy of the exact statements that this man, Palladino, made, all of a sudden, you always record your show's radio. We record every war report is recorded and archived. When you do public access radio or public access television, your shows are recorded, and they then are put in a vault of some kind. Conveniently, we couldn't find the tapes for that show. That was then, and then followed behind that was the answer to the questions from this journalist that went out just before Christmas. And yesterday is Sunday, I think it was again, either Friday or Thursday, Palladino, on his own blog, he went after some people again. And this is Palladino's style. He's crude. He calls himself being direct. He's blunt. He a bully, and he knows he can get away with it. He has no filter. Some of the things that he talked about was that the new contract the teachers got, I think it was in November, early November. It must have been earlier than that, because I was congratulating people when I got here about getting a contract. Teachers here hadn't had a contract in 12 years, I think it was, and they finally got a contract. And, of course, Paladino voted no on the contract, ratifying the contract. It was ratified anyway. Paladino was on a rampage talking about the whole greedy teachers and you name it, and he was in print. So, but this couple of days ago came out. I won't say it was a doozy, but it's pretty much a summary of many of his other rants. And, I mean, he talked about everyone. Started with the school board. He said that the school board, this majority, these women, of the six majority, four are black women and two are white. He basically said that they were ignorant. They were racist, abusive, minority. He was saying this minority of board members are the racist, abusive, ignorant school board members. He said that the contract that they ratified was a done deal the day that they were elected back May 1st, 2016, because the union and other people in the city who are union puppets in elected office or whatever position they have were colluding to make sure that this group of members would be elected and that the group that made up the majority that he basically was the leader of was targeted and put out of the office, and that that act in itself was corrupt and making them illegitimate. But more importantly, the guy writes that these people are racist, abusive, and ignorant minority. I'm hesitating because I want that thinking for you. He talks about the union president, and he cascaded him as usual for Paladino. Bottom line on the union president was that he was corrupt, he was smart, he manipulated the previous school boards not coming up with a contract with the teachers, because state law provides that if your contract runs out, that contract stays in existence for as long as it takes for you to get a new contract, and that 12 years ago when the contract ran out, that contract was such a sweetheart deal that the union president wanted to keep that contract going rather than seeking a new contract at a time when I guess the economy was bad and the amount of money that was coming in for education was down, and thus teachers would have to take a pay cut, lose part of their health care package, and blah, 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 that the wise move was to stall for 12 years, stall, and not get a contract done. So that the fact that they did not have a contract was the fault of the union president and his cohorts and other positions in the city. He also said that the union president was an old, savvy, smart guy, and he was smarter than all the people that have tried to negotiate contracts in the past, and that this is the reason that they didn't get a contract was his savviness. But also, the reason they got a contract was because of this same characteristic that this man possessed. He's smart, and that the new superintendent, who came in, I think maybe now going into his second year, was no match for this union president, and that he was outgunned, and also the school board was pressuring the superintendent to get a contract done on the union's term, and that the superintendent was just no match for the man that he was up against. And he was saying that, folks, in a very derogatory way. That's what I'm trying to get at. And then he went on to say that once the contract was in place, and then once the election took place and the new majority came in, they proceeded to not only have this superintendent who was not up to the task of being a real good, strong, effective superintendent. They played a part in allowing this superintendent to either bring in or promote people from within who were corrupt, incompetent executives. Hence, making sure that the school district would continue to be run by incompetent, corrupt people, and not have a clue, basically, on how to put in place a good, strong, effective educational system with good, educated, prepared, experienced teachers, and hence the school will continue down the rabbit hole of being one of the worst in the nation, and et cetera. This is Carl just a couple days ago. He talked about that the school board is incompetent, inept, and he cited the school board decision to bring in what is known quite widely now as restorative justice in the school system. Instead of kicking kids out on a wholesale basis, you keep them in school. They have to go to something like a group session, and their issues are discussed in a forum where others can have input into trying to get this person to see the incorrectness of his or her ways and to change, and et cetera. I was at a school board meeting when this came up. Carl did his normal rant of this was basically garbage, this restorative justice thing. These kids needed the hard, hard hand of the law sort of thing. I'm paraphrasing, folks. And that everyone knew that you got to get these kids between age 3 and 7 and correct their bad behavior, because if you don't do it by then, they're going to be lost. He was sort of like quoting Freudian psychology from back in the 30s or 40s or 50s, when the idea was that personality is set by age 7 for the vast majority of humanity. And that by that, they're saying that, you know, you're going to be who you are 7 going forward, based upon who you are at 7 and based upon who you were at 3 and how you were shaped, you were trained to become who you are at 8-7, and that's going to set it. So if these kids were messing up between 3 and 7, and we got them, we punished them, you did this a Pavlovian thing. For those of you who don't know, Pavlov was a psychologist from Russia who came up with stimulus response behaviorism, and learning how to control human behavior with various stimuli, you know, giving a response and reaction sort of thing, and breeding into people. If you get a particular stimulus, you should act a certain way sort of thing. Control behavior, what it is. And so that was his thing. Screw restorative justice. Go back and maintain this hard hand of behavioral modification, behavioral control. And he talked about the fact that by going to restorative justice, it was just going to continue with having the problems that they're having from this incompetent staff, incompetent school board, whole nine yards. Things like black males having the worst graduation rates of any group in the state, talking about the violence, the bullying, the fighting between students and student and students against teachers. He talked about the attendance rate, the dropout rate, suspension rate, expulsion rate, in school, out of school, and that all of these were the result of bad teachers, bad principals, bad management in terms of superintendent and staff, school board members being corrupt, and they put in positions of responsibility, friends, cronies, like principals, like executives in the superintendent's office, and principals, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that this is why the kids were exhibiting the kind of behavior I just mentioned, and this is why if you don't keep the law present in the schools to deal with it by age 7, and with the new school board in place, things are just going to go to hell, even more than they are right now. There's a lot more that could be said. He also, there's something else. He talks about diversity, that the school board is pushing this diversity, and that diversity is a code word for hiring friends and family. It's a code word for racism. And I cracked up because he is, people see him as a racist, and here he's calling other people racist and saying, in his own defense, that he's not a racist, but he's using the racist card to label everyone else, but it doesn't apply to him when he has this history of out-and-out racist rhetoric and behavior, from what I've been able to gather in terms of research I've done and the talks I've had with people. So the question becomes, does a person like Carl be on a school board? The behavior that he exhibited in the last few weeks, is that enough to put him off the school board? Everyone wants him off. They're asking the state school board or commission or to get him off. That's personal. That's emotional. I don't know whether or not it rises to the level of being legal. We'll see. I hope they make the political decision up top to put him off and then be prepared to take the consequences and take him on head on. But in my intellectual mind, I'm saying, is that his behavior, his printed behavior, his verbal behavior, is it enough to remove an elected official? My time is up, people. Sorry, I didn't get a chance to have anyone call in and we could have a real conversation about how people feel here in Buffalo about Carl Palladino and give more exact history than I could give. If I can get that information, we can do this again. Until then, have a good rest of your Sunday, and we're back, and we'll be back every week for the least near future. Have a good one, everyone. See you next week.
Join us again next time as we explore and become aware of the most pressing problem of our time, education, corporate America, and their unholy alliance.